Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies, Nature Folk, and others. In tonight's encore from February 2017, Selena leads a discussion about developing psychic perception and intuitive skills as part of spiritual practice.
Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we're going to continue our exploration of spiritual skills by exploring developing intuition. So let's start with intuition. What is it? It is a way of perceiving that goes beyond physical senses. Some people may call intuition psychic perception. Some people call intuition having a hunch or having a gut feeling about something. And what I'd like to share tonight are some forms of intuition, some ways of being better in touch with our intuitive perception, increasing it, enhancing it, and clearing away barriers to being able to perceive in this way. As with other Circle Craft Study evenings, let's begin with a few moments of invocation meditation. We call to the divine. Great goddess, great God, spirit, you who are known in many ways, in many forms, by people across times and cultures and spiritualities, divine as one, divine as many. Divine as none, divine as any. We celebrate the sacred that dwells within us and around us. And tonight we call on the divine according to our own path or philosophies to be with us, to guide us, to aid us in our intuitive exploration and development. We imagine ourselves now, each wherever we are, connecting with a radiant light, the color of starlight, all the spectrum colors that come from our own sun, in perfect harmony, becoming one. Connect with that brilliance. Experience it within your heart, within your whole being. Experience yourself as glowing with this radiance, drawing on the centering work that we have connected with in the past. Feel centered, balanced, and in tune with the divine that's within and around. We call on the sacred directions in the Circle Craft tradition. We call on the north, the east, the south, the west, to form a sacred circle around us and we call on that which is above, the cosmos, that which is below the planet, that which is center point, that which is within us and around us. And in so doing, we experience ourselves, each of us, in a sacred sphere of radiant light. And now, in the next few moments of quiet, experience your light, your sphere of light, and take a larger view and acknowledge that there's spheres of light around everyone listening now and listening in the times to come. To our workshop on developing intuition, and hold in mind a sense of glowing spheres of light, and start crafting, in so doing with this visualization, rays of light reaching out and connecting each of these spheres together. A huge network of all of us tuning in to this episode, now and in the times to come, all focusing on that image of light, of spheres, of interconnection. And as you feel complete with doing this visualization, give thanks to the divine and invite the divine to aid you in your ability to sense intuitively, blessed be. So in starting out with that invocation, meditation, reflection, one way of getting an understanding of how intuition can operate is to have an idea, a concept of the spiritual interconnectedness with others. We can connect with words face to face. We also connect with nonverbals, gestures, body postures, with the tone of voice. When we communicate in writing through texting and messaging and emails and written letters and other forms, it's another way of physically connecting and communicating. But we also are communicating with each other in spiritual realms that go beyond the physical, or what some people might call the invisible realms. When we develop relationships with family, close friends, colleagues, and in being part of some event, such as us joining in tonight, we have relationships, and those relationships, be they long-standing or short-term, have a kind of connection. Essence of soul touching essence of souls of others. Relationships can vary as we go through life. How deeply connected are we with someone? How often do we connect? There are many different variables. The more physically, emotionally, mentally, behaviorally, and spiritually related we are with another human, the more likely we are to be able to have intuitive communication in addition to the other types that have some physical manifestation. You may have had the experience when you've been talking with someone that you know well of having what they're about ready to say pop right in your mind even before they say it. In fact, some people I know sometimes will say the same word at the same time. They're that much in tune with each other. So a component of intuition is what's known in the psychotherapy world as rapport, able to have a resonance with someone and to be able to have good understanding. Some people call it being on the same wavelength or getting the vibe. There's a lot of different ways to describe this. Certainly those of us who do counseling and psychotherapy and other work for people in need do best if, in addition to being able to work with facts and stated information, also have a sense of a person that goes beyond the verbal and even the nonverbals in face-to-face settings that may be picked up on. The real essence of what's going on at the core of a person. So one of the things to be aware of as one wants to develop intuition is to pay attention when you have an experience of intuitive communication. You're thinking of someone, and they call you on the phone, or you get an email from them just moments later. You dream of someone, and it's very vivid, and you have a sense it's important to check in with them, and you do, and they've been thinking about you and wanting to be in touch with you. These are some examples of mind-to-mind communication. There may be some other factors that color it or make it easy for these kinds of occurrences to happen. How much contact one has, how much shared worldview one has. But being aware that communication beyond words and gestures is a possibility, and when these things happen, to take a few moments out while they happen and appreciate it, acknowledge it, notice it. That's one of the best ways of starting to develop your intuitive perception, is increasing your awareness of it and the possibility that it can happen, and to celebrate it when it does happen. Another way to increase one's intuitive perception is to have conversations about intuitive perception with those that you connect with. When you've had an encounter, in addition to appreciating it and noticing it, to have a conversation with the person about that. Here again, you have to determine whether timing for that conversation needs to happen immediately, which is best if you can do it, or that you make a note of it and share about it later. This is what some would call metacommunication. It's communication about communication. And as you do communication with someone else about this, it's best to start that intuitive development process with someone you know fairly well and that you already have a wide range of things that you talk about, and you have really good trust and understanding where the person's at in their own worldview. Sometimes we get intuitive perceptions and communications for someone we know less well or hardly at all. In these cases, you really do have to make a determination of how socially appropriate and useful it will be to have any kind of communications verbally as follow-up to any intuitive perceptions that you have. Another way to increase your intuitive perceptions and communications is to make time every day where you quiet yourself, you do a centering, a quietude, solitude practice, removing distractions of any electronics, conversations, other things that might be going on. You certainly can just sit and be. It can be outdoors in a beautiful natural setting. It can be inside in some type of home or other place. But to be in a place where you safely can be and to have some quiet and to do meditation, to be centered. Stilling the mind is a really important skill to have. When one spends time on a daily basis in having that quietude, solitude, one can become more aware of impressions, insights, guidance within one's own mind. Doing some journaling every day is another excellent way to start building a bridge of understanding between the parts of yourself that are cognitively very aware, rational, analytical sides, the part of you that processes information, being aware and giving some type of written form to intuitive musings, stream of consciousness flow, stimulates that flow, gives you a record. And in so writing and journaling, the idea is to let the flow happen and not to censor it. After you are done writing, then you can let that rational analytical side look for patterns and make sense of it in other ways. But to actually develop a process of setting down stream of consciousness expression so that it is manifesting in the waking world and that you have greater awareness of it. An additional way to develop intuition is through a type of art form. This could be a performing art, such as singing, playing a musical instrument, dancing, reading poetry, creating poetry, telling a story, creating a story. It can be through painting and visual arts. It can be photography, creating a movie, writing. There's many different ways of creative expression. Sculpting, it can be a kind of craft, doing sewing, knitting, quilting, creating some environment, working with architecture, landscape gardening. There's many different ways that creative expression can take form. To help develop intuition, it is really helpful to have at least one type of creative outlet that you do on an ongoing basis. Does not have to be daily, but it should be something that you make part of your life. Creativity comes from a deep place within, that same place that also is a wellspring of psychic perception, intuition. The very act of doing a kind of creative practice and doing it to get into a state of consciousness where you flow with it. Less a conscious creation, it's more flowing with it, being comfortable enough with the medium, with the type of art or craft that you can just be absorbed in it and to let it flow. So having a creative outlet is a very wonderful way of developing intuition. Let's take a few moments now and look at some types of intuition that you might experience. There's mind-to-mind communication, typically called telepathy. It isn't so much mind reading as much as getting a sense, an accurate sense, of something someone else is communicating without them using words or signals or gestures of any type. There is clairvoyance, which means clear seeing, being able to tune in with visual images of something that is happening outside the realm of physical sight. There is clairaudience, hearing something outside the range of audible hearing with one's ears. Clairsentience, that's feeling something that's outside the range of touch or other sensation, that is coming from an intuitive sense. Precognition, having a sense of something that is going to happen before it happens. Retrocognition, having a sense of something that has happened before you realize that it has happened. There is intuition that happens when you are present with someone else. There's intuition where you have a connection with someone else, but they aren't physically present. That might be in the form of someone speaking about someone else, or you getting some form of written communication about someone else that triggers a perception. in addition to having these forms of intuitive perception, there's divine wisdom that comes from a very deep place. It may be a result of a resonance with a particular divine form, a goddess, a god, a nature spirit, an ancestor, a spiritual guide. But some information may come to you that is important for you in your life. Sometimes we get intuitive perception from people that we don't know. We might hear about in some way, and impressions come to mind. And in doing follow-up, if that seems appropriate to do, we can get those impressions either confirmed or not. I do think as one develops intuition, in addition to having very specific things to do to heighten awareness, to develop the ability to live intuitively and creatively, is important to have some way of tracking our development. And you may want to do that as part of some journal keeping, noting down experiences that you've had where you have dreamt about something before it happened, and not just writing about the experience, but dating it and where were you and giving more details. The more that we can build an awareness between our waking understanding of things and the intuitive perceiving of things, the more we are likely to be able to be aware of the intuitive communications and messages, the perceptions that happen as we go about our day-to-day life. Some examples that I will share from my own personal experience, and one happened earlier today. I do some work with pagan civil rights and other civil rights work, and I had just sat down at my desk and was starting to go through email where I saw a Lady Liberty League help request form. And a parent was relaying a troublesome incident involving a public school system with a child and was upset at what was going on in terms of how that youth's needs were being met and not being met. And right on the form where it said urgency, it said not urgent. So right up at the top of the form, I read down through the form, and I was in the process of composing an email to the case manager to let her know about some ideas I had about what to recommend with the case that had been presented to us, when all of a sudden I had a very strong flash of intuition that a message came through, call the mother. So I stopped everything I did. When I get something that clear, I stopped everything. I called the person and was able to talk with her just moments before she was about ready to go into a meeting to sort some of these things out with officials. And she was quite surprised that I called, but the timing in that case was good. I was able to give her some support, even though it was not put down as an urgent thing. It seemed that it actually was. So sometimes what you get in a physical realm may not jive with what you actually are sensing. Another example from my own life happened when my mother-in-law was in the final stages of life. And we had been at her bedside and had been giving her support. And we were back at our home. There was, you know, a bit of a drive between where we lived and where she was. And we were planning on going to be by her bedside again one evening. We had a sense she was really close to dying. And as we headed out, there was just very, very thick fog, and it was late at night, and we knew that it wasn't safe for us to actually try to make that journey. The fog was just too thick. So we decided to turn back, go back home, and we went and slept with my husband and I, and with the understanding the next morning we would get up and hopefully the fog would be dissipated at that point, and then we would drive up to the family homestead. Each of us had a dream of her crossing over. The imagery work that I had that morning was a bit different than what he had, but upon awaking, we shared our dreams with each other, and I said, she's about ready to cross if she hasn't crossed already. And we immediately went and called the homestead and talked to my husband's father, and she was still alive at that point. Us making that contact and actually linking in through phone with the family home and inquiring about her, I think she had a sense that we were there giving her support. And we hung up the phone. We were getting ready to drive up, and then the phone rang. And shortly after we had had that conversation, she died. Of course, we continued our plans and went up. And I point that out as an example of someone who's in the position of crossing from the land of the living to the land of the dead, where the veil between those worlds is very thin. I really have a strong sense that we were able to connect with her, not just through that phone call to the homestead and her being aware of that, but in the dream state. And so that intuitive perception, yes, there was the conscious understanding she was in the final stages of life, but for both of us to have strong dreams, one of the dream images I still carry was the idea of a long tunnel and a light at the end, which is reported by a number of people when they're crossing over. I also saw images of ancestors, her ancestors, who I have never met. And when I got up to the family homestead and we giving comfort and support to the other family members and doing that process, we went up into an older part of the house and started going through old family albums. And lo and behold, images that I had seen in my dream connected with her and her crossing over were indeed ancestors of her. So I share these accounts as examples of what might be possible. Everyone perceives intuitively in their own ways, and intuition happens throughout our days and evenings, but many people have not really learned to focus on it, to really tune into it, to check into it, to pay attention to it. So if there's anything that you can carry from our evening tonight, is to be more aware of what's possible, to have some dialogue and communication with other loved ones that have similar interest in this and that would be open to comparing notes with you. to make some records of what you've experienced. And also recognize that intuitive perception, just as with our physical perception with our physical eyes, may not be 100% all the time accurate. And just because you sense something intuitively doesn't necessarily mean it's true. So to start honing your ability to assess how true something is really an important part of developing psychic skills. Just because something comes in a flash of intuition doesn't necessarily mean that you're intuitively perceiving correctly. And as you develop skills in this, you'll come to know the intuitive perceptions that are coming from a deep place and a true place from those that are not so finely attuned or focused. What I'd like to do in the second part of our evening is open up our time together to the sharing of experiences and perceptions, questions, and you can do this via live chat. And I know there's several of you in the chat room right now. Or if you prefer, I invite you to call in and we can talk that way as well. And our call-in number is 347-308-8222. 347-308-8222. So let me know what questions you have, comments you have, and while I'm looking around in the chat room, and I'll just say a few more things. A good way to clear away obstacles to intuitive communication is to make certain that you allow yourself the freedom to consider that intuitive perception is possible and that you do stress management work on an ongoing basis and that you have some peaceful time by stilling yourself, as I mentioned earlier, that really, and developing skills in that, that really gives you an opportunity to really tune in to the still small voice, to the inner bell, to the inner self, to the intuitive wisdom within. What I'd like to do now is invite my assistants every week, Circle Sanctuary Ministers, David and Jeanette Ewing, to join the conversation, to share some of their own perceptions about developing intuition and psychic skills. Good evening.
Hello. This is Jeanette here. I don't know, do we have psychic ability? I don't know. Maybe. We certainly, I mean, between David and myself, I think we do quite a bit. I think that happens a lot with people who've been together quite a long time. You know, I've always attributed the idea of that one of the types, anyway, of intuition is really that you think that you don't, if you have a sense about something or someone or something, that a lot of that information actually, for my belief is that a lot of that information is not extrasensory in the sense that most people would think of it. It's that really your mind picks up so much information, smells, sense, sight, very discrete changes in people's facial expressions, their body expressions, their posture, any number of things, that the brain processes that information much quicker than the conscious mind is aware of. And so for many of these things, what people, you know, ascribe to something being, in the waking world anyway, to being, you know, quote-unquote psychic, is really not psychic as much as it is your brain is processing information so quickly that it takes a while for you to catch up. And the conscious mind anyway, the waking mind, and that certain impressions and feelings and senses that you get are your body's biochemical responses to those things that it has already been cataloging and analyzing.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, part of the range of perception is we do have the ability to pick up on all sorts of subtleties. But I know across my lifetime, as I have taken not only more creative looks and spiritual looks at this field, but also have gone into the scientific explorations of this with double blind and triple blind experiments and that type of thing, that there really seems to be, in some circumstances, more going on than the physical realm. You know, one of the people in the chat room, Christina, has remarked, I think we all are capable of psychic abilities, but we have to have an open mind and heart to receive. I do think that that's an important piece. And she also comments about fear can close minds and heart. Well, I know myself, being trained in the scientific method in sciences, I have had to do a good balancing act between the skeptic and critical thinking and the part of me that really does analysis. I honor that part of myself, and I think it's really good if one's exploring intuitive realms to develop intellect, critical thinking, and skepticism. And Ted, because that can be a very healthy mix. But I've known some people who have been energetically non-believers in something where it's not a neutral piece at all, that have actively blocked the ability to even conceptualize that there might be intuitive perception or psychic perception. And so that has been, I think, one of the real struggles of this time. How are we programmed? What is our worldview? How much spiritual practice do we do that really allows us to go beyond intellectual development, emotional development, social development, and really get into a deeper part of soul development? Because when we are at a really deep soul level and we are connecting with others, is most likely the time where we're going to have these, what I consider, wonderful experiences. Not all the time when you pick up psychic impressions is it all going to be joyful and happy. I mean, one of the things that I've found as I do psychotherapy with people, in addition to what information they give me verbally and what is on the intake form, the years that I was working in a clinic, in addition to that information coming in, I'd always pay attention to other things and my gut sense about people. Christina also talked about having a former boyfriend whose grandfather was dying, and this connection had happened where there was this sense that, you know, with her and the boyfriend, it's like the grandfather had just died. And I do think that, especially when it comes to death, many people get a sense of it, even ones that are kind of out of the blue and not expected death because somebody is dying, that we can get these perceptions that happen, and not everybody's comfortable with that. And I do think when you get the death piece in there, there's some additional complexities because the soul is actually transiting out of this incarnation going into, you know, the other world. But certainly I've had experiences around the death of loved ones, not just family members and people I've been super close with, but other people that I've encountered. And that is a time where people that might not normally consider themselves intuitive or psychic have reported some of this phenomena. And I see Lavender Luna had a dream of someone dying in a hospital and went to see the husband's grandfather in the hospital, but actually had died before getting to the hospital. Well, I don't presume to say what exactly that dream was about, but it would occur to me that you may have already been visiting that man and messages coming from the dying one before you actually got there. So that's another example of kind of the death signal connection going on. Sometimes happy things happen, you know, where one is getting a flash of something good that's going to happen right before it happens, and just getting a sense of, and it might be a little thing such as finding a coin on the sidewalk as one's walking, but I think it's important to just really cultivate an awareness that getting information can come in a lot of different ways.
Well, I know certainly for a lot of people, if, you know, those little things don't necessarily manifest during a person's conscious state, you do have a lot of, not always, but, and it may vary from person to person, whether or not they are receptive to such things, messages coming through in dreams. You know, the subconscious mind seems to be more apt in receiving information that our conscious mind more easily can rationalize, finding an explanation for.
And I think, too, the conscious mind tends to be so busy
with all the crap,
with everything that's coming at it, you know, during your waking time and stuff, that when you do go into sleep and in your dreams, you know, your mind is that's what, you know, part of that is sorting through all that stuff that you've done, through the, you know, processing that, you know, your daily intake, but also, you know, opening it up to, you know, you are more open to receive those messages and stuff, you know, and from the dying. And I think, too, that just in general, you know, I tend to go with the idea that there is an interconnectedness that we all share, you know, and that's what, you know, magic and stuff is about, is the energy, and the, you know, that there's an energy flow that runs through the universe, and we're all in some way, shape, or form anyway. So, you know, as long as you are a little more open to the idea of that kind of connection, however you call it, then you're more likely to receive messages and the intuitions and things like that. And I think it's, you know, starts with a little bit of an open mind concept, and then you're, you know, if you accept that yes, it can happen, then that gets your mind sort of tune in a little bit to that connectedness that we all share.
Yeah.
And that's how, I mean, we've joked about how we've sat here thinking about how, you know, we need to call Selena and talk to her about such and such. And then, like, within minutes.
You call. It happens all the time, actually. We laugh about it.
We do. Oh. And it's happened with others. But there's a connection that happens, you know, from from that kind of association with people,
yeah,
too.
I think people of like mind, and something just came to mind that when you're asleep and you're in the REM cycle and your brain waves are functioning a particular way, for a lot of people who are already receptive to that because they've opened up to the possibility, they've done meditations, they've done other kinds of things where they've started to get their brain attuned a little bit differently. When that happens, I kind of see that as that when you're sleeping and you're in that REM cycle, your spiritual modem is connected. Sorry, we're both sitting here on separate laptops doing things and talking to you at the same time. And, you know, it just sort of occurred to me, it's like that line of connection is like, it's like a modem. And sometimes the modem is gunked up with junk and because you're getting too much spam. And other times, you know, when your brain is more calm and in a different state, well, the spiritual modem is maybe at, you know, a higher, you know.
Baud rate.
There you go.
Dating ourselves. Yeah, we're all, you know, you kind of, yeah.
To put the geek factor in there. There you go.
Well, yeah, and it's good. And I do think with the dream piece, I really started developing my own intuitive awareness through dream work. As a child, I had things come to me in dreams. I had precognitive dreams in particular. And as I started becoming more aware of my dreams and then paying attention, that sometimes I found out things in dreams before I actually intellectually knew them. That roused my curiosity about how that might be going on. And I grew up, I'm 64 now, and I grew up in the 50s. I was born in 49, and the whole field of parapsychology was starting to emerge, and there were Zener cards and a whole variety of other things in an attempt to test for ESP, as it was called. I have found throughout my life, if I have a dream and my sense of the dream is that it is a message I really need to pay attention to and do some follow-up on, I have learned over the years it is a good idea to take the time out to do that. We had been looking for land for Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve for nearly 4 years, visiting a number of sites and putting out a call for the land, for humans to let us know what properties might be available, but also just putting out into the universe that we really wanted to have a place that would serve as the headquarters for Circle Sanctuary. And one night, I saw the land. The land came to me in a dream. It was vivid. I just was compelled when I woke up that I really needed to go and share this dream with some others to see where this place was that I saw in my dream. At that time, Circle Sanctuary had a rented office place in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, nearby village. And we were doing what is now known as Circle Magazine, back then called Circle Network News. It was in a tabloid newspaper form. So I went in there to meet with our staff, and we had somebody who had been working with us only a very short while, who was from the local area, that was doing some graphic arts and design with us. And I called everybody together, and I shared my dream. I described what the land looked like and that I had a sense that somehow that land was now available and that I really felt we needed to connect. Well, one of the people that was there that the one that actually had only worked with us for a little bit of time and really wasn't in our life for a really long time, but was there at that significant time and said, oh, I know a place that just came up for sale in the local area. Well, it turns out that indeed was the land that we ended up not only looking at, but buying as, which is today Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, and we just celebrated our 30th anniversary. So yes, I got some information in the dream, but that was only part of it. It was really important to do some additional work to make the connection to find out where that place was. And fortunately, the decision-making around that to bring it up to some people that I knew and start networking with them brought about results. Now, how did that happen? How did I consciously know about this? I didn't have any conscious knowledge, but I spiritually in consciousness did know this. I was guided. I've often said that the land was looking for us as much as we were looking for the right piece of land. So I think in addition to looking at intuitive perception with humans, that we can have intuitive communications with creatures, with places, with plants, with, you know, other loved ones that aren't necessarily in human form. See, Lavender Luna shared an intuition about car accident piece. And sometimes people who have strong intuitive skills tend to have some perceptions of the tragedies more than the joyful events of life. And for some people, that some people just want to turn it off, actually. And I have a longtime friend that I got an email from recently who a month ago had had certain dates come up and had a sense that there was going to be some really difficult, catastrophic tragedies that would happen. Well, shortly after those dates came and there did turn out to be some news-making catastrophe, you know, he wrote back to me and said, well, this is what I think I had the intuition about a month ago, and sometimes I just wish I would turn this off. And why do some people have their intuition more geared towards the challenging parts of life? I can't say, but I do think if you happen to be a person where your intuitive perception is kind of the bringer of some bad news in advance, to try to balance that with some intentional exercises to tune in to positive things that might be coming. Because if you have the ability to pick up on tragedies as they are happening or about to happen, chances are you have intuitive perception that can pick up the happier occasions that are about to happen that are happening. And I'm very thankful for everybody who has joined live chat and shared things. And I see someone else, Fireblade, just said, well, that's why I don't say things. I don't want to be labeled a doomsayer or whatever. And I can understand that. I do think part of the intuition perception is developing good intuitive sense about what to share with whom and when. And I generally, if I'm uncertain, will hold back rather than share, just because, it, you know, what you say and something coming out of the blue with someone, especially if it's something of concern, it's good to have some strategies around being able to share that without alarming the person or creating a negative, you know, response. But I'm very thankful for the opportunity to talk tonight about intuition, developing intuition.
thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.